I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
Hey Thatch, I'd like to request being done recording in about 2 hours. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, no, that's definitely doable. I have to leave to go tutor anyway.
Oh, what are you tutoring?
Physics.
Physics. Yeah. That must be fun.
Yeah, you know, it gets me paid.
Don't you just do it to help people?
No, it's all about the dollar bills, y'all.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again! Listen to the show with the fun never ends! It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah!
Pucko!
It's your host,
String of Death!
Your co-host,
And welcome to the 166th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts,
Skaron
and Shamu.
And we're here to bring you another Pucklicious episode, so puckle up your Puckle belts.
What?
Yeah, that's how you open a show.
Nice.
So, obligatory, what have you guys been doing in Pokemon lately? Question.
Well, I've been doing a lot of Pokemon breeding just to have some sort of project to do. Okay. I recently finished one of the hardest known breeds in Pokemon, which is Mantyke. And to commemorate.
Why were you breeding Mantyke?
I'm actually thinking I'm going to use Mantine on my PuckleCon VGC team.
Oh, but what do you mean? Why did you bring Mantyke as opposed to Mantine?
Oh, well, Mantyke gets access to Tailwind.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Which makes it a better support Pokemon.
I understand that.
And this
that.
Is one of the hardest.
Is Tailwind a tutor
move? Wait. No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, my
God. I'm pretty sure it is now.
If it is, then you have ruined my life.
I'm checking it right now.
Okay, if I really hope that it's not because I want to feel special.
I remember that being.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now. No, it is not.
Okay, thank God. Because if this whole thing could have been avoided, that would have been awful.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be going for Helping Hand on it, though. But anyway, I named it to commemorate the breed finishing.
Mm-hmm.
I named it Samantha. Yeah.
Well, that's great. No, because breeding anything with incense is awful.
It is awful.
It is awful.
Scrawn, it's a tutor move.
No what? Way. It's a tutor move in Black and White, too, not in the new
and
one.
X and yeah, Auraz. I just looked.
Where in Auraz?
It doesn't say it on Bulbapedia.
Oh, yeah. Move tutor number 4. Move. Look at that.
It's on Auraz tutor moves.
Yeah, it is.
Throw a seed bomb.
We're so sorry, Skaron. We feel
for you. I'm done. We're moving to the next section now.
Okay, so, Jamie, what have you been doing Pokemon-wise? Other than crushing Skaron's dreams. What have you been up to, Shamu?
Like nothing. I've been playing Pokemon.
Oh, really? I actually... Okay, so, fun story. This week, I was gonna do the Battle of Hoenn. And I, came up with a team, and as I was, putting the team together, I was running really close to the registration deadline. So I get the team done within, like, 5 minutes of the registration deadline. First of all, I did not know how to register, so that was a problem. I missed it, for any of you that were actually curious. And so I did not sign up because I was very ill-informed on how to sign up for these tournaments. I'm about to do it next time, because you're supposed to, like, register on your Pokemon Global Link account. And then you download the ID.
Yeah.
So that's what the problem was. And so future reference for anybody trying to do these. I'm gonna sign up for the next one, though. The next one's up very soon. So
I'll get you a Rocket Tyrant or 30 Tyrant,
It
was.
Meh, I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to compete because I did hear rumors that to compete in, like, Nationals, you need, like, a play point or something. For, like, signing up for one of these competitions.
That is
or...
true.
I think those... Okay.
It depends on the format that you're going into. If you're going to be doing TCG...
No, I heard they did it for the VGCs, though.
No, that is not the case. You do not need
sure?
any prerequisites. I looked it up, made absolutely...
No, there's no prerequisites for... It's Worlds.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you need I had it backwards.
Yeah.
I'm still going to do it.
If you do want to do the TCG, you need to get 10 play Pokemon points.
I'm still going to do it. Okay. either way.
That's good. It would be kind of a disappointment to find out that there were prerequisites.
Yeah, if they just, like, made prereqs for some reason, and, you know.
We should at least have Thatch participate.
I mean, I don't know that I want to, but I should. I definitely want to, I want to build a VGC team. I'll probably start working on that after I get my, what's the next one called? It's, like, Battle of Generations or something.
I'm not there right
yeah,
now.
It's the Battle
Generation
of Generations.
Showdown.
Yeah, the Battle of Generations, which registration starts on, like, the 4th or something. And, yeah, the 6th.
It starts
on the 6th, and the battles go the 13th to the 14th.
Wait, what? Wait.
When the new 3DS comes out. That's really cool.
The Generation Showdown's a bit different.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
It's registration from 5th to 12th, and then February 10th to release to the weekend.
Yeah, and then
you
the
have
weekend.
The week, and then you have, like, the weekend.
Yeah, that's how all of them are, though, typically.
Yeah, usually.
So I'm pretty excited, honestly. But yep. I'm gonna build one of those, and then I'm gonna work on VGC. And once I'm done with VGC, and then hopefully I'll become a master of VGC. I've actually been tearing up Little Cup lately.
Oh, Little Cup!
I've been
Cup
tearing
so
up
fun.
Little Cup.
There's a trick to winning Little Cup, and it's called put knockoff on everything.
No, winning Little Cup really like... is actually I know there are probably some people who are really good at Little Cup. But honestly, so, like, compared to playing OU, where everybody and their brother is playing it, like, none of the good people are actually playing Little Cup unless you're in, like, the top 100 or so.
Yeah.
So it's literally, I've had people that were ranked, like, in the top 200 play me, and they'll use, like, Shadow Sneak on a normal type, or just a move that's completely, like, not the right move to make.
Yeah. I generally stay clear of Little Cup because of some of the saltiness of the people in that tier.
I really like it. It's a lot of fun. I thought it was very interesting. I honestly would recommend it to somebody trying to get into the metagame.
Mm.
Because, especially if you're practicing on the simulator, because, first of all, the skill level isn't nearly as high as an OU. You're not going to feel, like, really bad that you're stuck at 1100. But... in Little Cup, you know, it feels like a lot of people are trying to figure it out. And, you know, it's a good way to figure out speed tiers and everything else.
Mm.
And to work your brain to get into the right way.
I definitely say that team building is more influential in Little Cup than in other tiers.
I mean, I built my team that I got to the top 300 with in, like, 20 minutes.
All right.
So it's really not that hard. If you run Diglett and, like, something else, and you're
Diglett,
fine.
I don't remember if Mischievous has been banned. It was a long time.
I'm not
time
sure. I've been running like Apom, Mischievous, or not Mischievous, no. Apom, Diglett, Duskull. I've been running Duskull over Ghastly, which has actually worked out very well.
Duskull sounds really good.
It actually works out really well. I've been running Vullaby.
Oh.
Which Vullaby is just, like, the greatest thing in that.
Vullaby
tier.
Is a good wall. I think the Pokemon that are banned in Little Cup are I think Meditite.
Yeah, Meditite is still.
Swirlix, I think.
I'm not sure.
Because Swirlix with Baton or with Belly Drum and Burden and shit, and it's just. What else is banned?
Don't worry about it.
I want to know now.
But either way, I just put the team together by looking at the weaknesses that I had, and it just it fell together pretty well. Maybe I got lucky and put just the right six together, but I like to think that. So I guess we should move on to the news. So cue the epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And in the news, we have a lot of great stuff this week. First and foremost, the stuff that you guys are probably waiting for us to talk about is Pokken or Pokken Fighters. I don't know how to pronounce it. But they were featured on the monthly Famitsu. I can't say it.
Famitsu, something like that?
Famitsu.
I don't know.
I like
either,
that.
But
monthly Famitsu stream. And we've found three more fighters, Suicune, Gardevoir, and Pikachu. Obligatory Pikachu is obligatory. And but Suicune is definitely one of the more interesting choices, I believe.
Yeah. I just
wouldn't really see it coming without the other two.
Yeah. I definitely would not have expected Suicune. I expected a lot more humanoid Pokemon and Pikachu. But I'm really excited that Suicune's in this. I did see Gardevoir coming because I forgot the name of the game. The other fighting
Pokemon
game.
Wild type.
Yeah, Pokemon Wild type included
Type
Gardevoir.
Wild.
Yeah, Type Wild.
Type Wild either way.
Yeah, included Gardevoir, and it was very... I just thought that was going to happen. I thought they would be dumb not to pull the entire roster from that.
But I'm still looking for Swalot.
I would love Swalot, but I don't know. Like, Suicune is like a level above including Swalot in a fighting game.
Yeah.
I think. And watching some of the video was really cool.
The video was kind of cool of it, yeah. Like, it just kind of, like, swirled around and it, like, really looked cool in all actuality.
And, like, not to mention that they have a controller, essentially, as the controller instead of the traditional fight stick.
Yes, and it uses a D-pad.
Yeah. Not to mention there's also support Pokemon, so a lot of Pokemon are going to be seeing their, seeing, like, a debut in this 3D model-wise.
I think we only have, like, we only have four support.
Yeah, they've only shown four support so far, but I think it would be ridiculous if they were not to include more.
We should
freaking
probably
Lapras.
Say, yeah, it's Lapras, Fennekin, Snivy, and Emolga. That's what
Emolga, yeah.
And I'm really excited because it's actually going to be like a console release. I'm excited not for Pokken Fighters. No, don't get me wrong. It's going to be a cool game. I will more than likely purchase it. And we can do an episode on it in the future, but I really would like to see these models be reused in a Pokemon Stadium, since the models will have been created. And
that would be nice.
I would be so happy with that. I cannot express how happy I would be.
I want a model as cool as Kangaskhan's Coliseum Sprite.
Yes!
It says bouncing around like there's no tomorrow.
Just like spazzing out. See, they're just flying everywhere. I love it.
It would be great. I mean, I would just really like to see a more fluid stadium game. But that's just me, and I'm going to keep wishing this until I die.
One thing...
Oh, no. Don't be so morbid.
I mean, if it comes out, I will be incredibly happy. I will be so happy if that's what happens.
Well, my prediction is that it will probably just stay on arcade games, at least in the near future.
Oh, no. I think... Well, they showed it an American trailer. That's the only reason. Because arcades aren't big here, right? So they're gonna that means they're gonna be announcing some kind of console release date in the future. They're obviously gonna do the beta first, and then it's gonna
that's
morph
the beta
into a
there,
console
yeah, they're
game.
Just testing it, and then
okay.
I just the one thing it kind of creeps me out, but it's actually cool. But like, Suicune's really realistic, and it's like really like. It's just, if you look into it, you see all the fur and it's like veins.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Like,
I really hope that they use these models for Pokemon Stadium. I would really love it.
I just don't know if I could look at that more than once. Like, that thing is just creepy.
I could look at it all day. It's fine. Moving on.
No doubt, but like,
we should probably move on, or we're going to spend the entire episode talking about this. The Unova starters with their hidden abilities are available in the United States now. no longer just a Japanese exclusive. So right now you can actually put in the superior code Pokemon 497 and download a contrary superior.
Or and you could do Pokemon 500 for...
Well, no, it's not out yet. Or... That's not out until next week, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not out.
And but Pokemon 500 will be available next week, and then the week after that, you'll get Pokemon 503, and you'll get Samurott.
With shell armor.
Yeah, because that matters.
And everyone wants.
Not to mention Reckless Emboar. Those are my favorites. Contrary Superior, pff, nobody wants that.
Reckless Emboar is where it's at.
Yeah.
Definitely Reckless Emboar.
I think it's very interesting, though, that it got released in the U.S., because this has happened a lot in the past, where Japan will get these cool events going on, especially over Wi-Fi, and then it just won't happen in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah,
any
not?
Other
why
region,
can't...
for that matter. And it's very just interesting that it's actually happening, like, all over the world. Even if it was a couple weeks late, I still think it's very cool that it's happening all over the world.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I mean, it was a tease, but whatever. Whatevs. I'm not sure there's much other Pokemon news in reality, because there's not much else going on in the games. But we do have quite a bit of Puckle news for the community.
Of course.
So, yep. Scrawn and I were going to talk first about PuckleCon.
Yes.
Which we're still working out on the details for.
Well, we actually would like a bit of user input on whether you would like to be congregated in one place, like staying in like a general Puckle-sponsored hotel, or if you would like to just kind of do your own thing and like meet each other at various events around Indianapolis throughout the weekend. Yeah. And we're just looking for a little bit of input on that regard. We're still researching. We think we found a good hotel if we do decide to mm-hmm. do that. But other than that, once the 1st of February hits, there will be a post on the site talking about PuckleCon. So prepare yourselves for that.
We would definitely, because I'm really excited for it. I've got the time off, essentially, for it. And I just think it would be cool to see at least everybody, and we can go watch some Pokemon battles in the process.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff to do in Indianapolis as well. It's the homeland for myself. But
we can go watch some drag cart racing.
We can go visit the Indy 500 track.
Yes, or watch some high school marching bands. I think that's what it's known for, right?
No, it's known for I think it's the Indy 500.
The Indy 500. Oh, yeah.
Indy 500, but that will take place like a month before we're actually there. So.
Oh, that's awful. We can pick the trash from it.
Yeah, exactly. We could probably soak up some milk from the guy that won. but I'm really excited for PuckleCon, so please do let us know so we can help plan this to make this a better event. So, like, I don't want to... Like, I can't afford to buy out a hotel and, like, reserve the rooms. But we did find like, a cheaper alternative. I think it was about $70 a month... night, not a month. $70 a night, which would include, like, two beds in the room. So, theoretically, you could split it up with four people if you're super comfortable with that. And
or
you know,
theoretically, you could choose not to.
Yeah, theoretically, you could choose not to.
But I did make sure that it has continental breakfast.
Yes, of course. Why would you go to a hotel that doesn't have a continental breakfast?
Exactly. That was one of the most important factors.
I was looking for a pool.
Yeah. a pool.
Yeah, I don't eat breakfast.
I was looking for a pool. No, I'm going to go swim in the pool. Client. I'm looking for one of those late night pools so I can get back at like midnight and go for a swim.
Oh, that sucks.
But yeah, PuckleCon should be a lot of fun, especially if I've heard a lot of people like are going too.
Yes, just we've had a lot of interest. We'll see how that follows through. Of course, we're going to have to like have you sign liability things in case you get lost.
Well,
or something.
We won't make this officially PuckleCon or something. It's just us hanging out or something.
All right, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah.
Either way,
then we're going to sacrifice a few chickens.
we've got Shamu. He wanted to talk about some UUTC stuff.
Yeah, because I haven't been able to be on here to talk about it. But for people who are still participating, please check the updates on the site, please. Because some people haven't, and it's just sometimes people get out of the loop. And those are pretty much updates. If things change, anything that happens, it's on the update. The one for this week isn't up yet. I haven't gotten to it, but...
it will be by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, yes. It probably will be. Yeah, by the time you're listening. But please check those. What's the other? Okay. Also, for people who don't understand when the battles need to be done by, they need to be done before Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Not on Sunday, before. Because I do the brackets and all of the updates Saturday night. So, well, I guess Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to be done before Sunday. So, that's pretty much it. I just need to get those two things out.
Yes. I have one thing that I would like to do. I'd like to thank a lot of people in this past month. Actually, we've gotten a large number of donations in this past month.
Yeah.
And we, as I've told you guys earlier this week, we have finally actually hit, like, the mark so we can pay for the website for two years, like, in a row, which is going to be great. By no means does this mean I wish you guys would stop donating, because if we had some money now, I could actually start putting it towards projects that I'd like to institute. But, you know, right now I'm kind of, like, in a bliss, though. You guys own me for another 2 years. You guys own me until, like, April 1st. You owe me until April 1st, 2017. So
Thatch is your personal podcasting slave.
I am your personal podcasting slave for the next 2 years. Just going to throw that out there. So I hope you all bask in that glory. There are several people that I would like to thank. I think Mr. Maximus was one of those people. There was man named David Underhill. He donated the final push.
That was wonderful. Which is great.
And let's see. Yeah, other than that, there's just like, I can't see, but thank you if you did donate. I thank you so, so much for everything. So, yeah. Keep on donating. Maybe we can make the show a lot bigger. We can institute a lot more content-related things. Maybe even improve the show a little bit. But thank you for all of that. Like, that is definitely, I was so happy. That, like, made my day when we got that final donation. I'm just like, wow. These guys actually came together and raised, like, $100 in a month.
That's nice.
And gave us that final push to, like, yeah, no, it's great. Like, we have enough people doing that. And it's great. What makes me feel even better is that I had enough people doing that that thought that this show was worth donating to. So that's the biggest compliment I've received. So, yeah, thank you. Keep it up. Maybe we can do something else with that, with some of the funds. Maybe we can, I don't know yet. I have some plans on the back burner, because I didn't actually think we're going to make money.
I'll be pushing for some real badges for the Summer League.
That would be really cool, actually. If people would donate, I would do that. I would be down for that. Even if we did something where we could just, where you paid and you got them at cost or something.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We should look into that, Scrawn. Like, 3D printing can't be that expensive.
Yeah, it probably is.
I can get it done on campus.
Oh, here comes Shamu to ruin your hopes and dreams.
If you can get it done on campus, you might be able to work something out.
Yeah, I could probably work something out, so don't worry about it.
Because it can get expensive.
Yeah, no, it can. It definitely can. If you do it in bulk, I think it's a bit easier.
Yeah, it'd be a bit easier, I think, if you do it in bulk. But
so, it would definitely be a feel the interest in it thing, so.
Yeah.
We'd have to feel it out.
Think about it, I could actually design the badges, because I do drafting stuff.
We could talk about that. We could talk about that, Shamu. We'll talk about that later. I think that's it for news, especially in Puckle-ness. So let's move on to the topic after this short break.
Hey, what's up, you Weedles? This is Trainer Bosefus, and if you haven't signed up for the Puckle Podcast website yet, then you are crazy! You can earn badges and make friends and get on the chat box and hit up me and other podcast members. Talk about Pokemon. You can like us on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Tumblr. Do anything you can to get your Puckle fix, right? If you haven't already, help us out by reviewing us on iTunes. Also, if you have the time, send us an email at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, since fan emails make up a good chunk of our show. We really appreciate it. Come on down to the Puckle Podcast website today.
Yeah!
And on to the topic. Our topic today is actually a top 10 of our favorite non-player characters in Pokemon. Whether they be very memorable or they become like kind of cult. So I think we should start from the bottom, of course. Obviously, this is all opinion-based. If you don't like our ordering, change it for yourself. Send us an email at PucklePodcast@gmail.com with your expressions of outrage.
Or you could just send us a mailbag telling us your favorite NPC.
Yeah, so moving on, I think our number 10 is Tierno
from X and
from
Y.
From X and Y, one of your friends, quote-unquote, that you have a total emotional bonding moment with, of course. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he just loves to dance, and his shirt is the best thing ever.
That Vanillite?
Yeah, the Vanillite shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, you can actually buy it. Did you know that? You can buy Tierno's shirt online.
Oh, that's great.
I think you can also get like a shirt similar to him in the X and Y games.
Oh, you can. That is true. Yes. In the X and Y game, you can
get
it. You
don't get a Vanillite shirt, no.
But yes, you can buy the Vanillite shirt online at Level Up Studios.
That's great.
Level Up Studios actually has a lot of cool stuff. I buy stuff from them all the time.
Tierno and his corfish.
Yeah, I get and his corfish. Yeah. He's got this Vanillite shirt, but never gets a Vanillite. You notice that?
Well, yeah, Vanillites are pretty rare in Kalos.
That's true. I guess so. Not really, but...
I try to justify things.
but not really. Like, you know, it's just a classic Tailwind moment. But I don't know. Tierno is just one of... Like, just all of those characters in general. I just didn't feel much of an emotional connection to. They were supposed to be, like, your friends, but you met them, and then they would just run around with you. And I got so excited at the beginning of X and Y, because they were running around the forest with you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if this was in every area, that would be kind of sweet as I'm going through the game. But no, it's not. It's not. It was just the first area.
But what distinguishes Tierno that makes him better than, like, Shauna or Serena? Or the other little orange-haired guy.
I forget his name. I don't know his name.
His name is pretty cool. Tierno.
Trevor, that's right.
Trevor, yeah. That's right. The Ralts boy who likes to study Pokemon, has low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Well,
Waddle.
Tierno. And, oh, at the end of the game, he's just sitting over Coumarin City on the ledge, looking out into the distance. And I think that's probably what would do it.
Really, I think it's that he's doing what no other Pokemon trainer has tried to do before, and that's to teach all of his Pokemon to dance.
I feel like Dolph probably has done that, but they're just not important. No one cares about him.
Nobody cares, but he's the first person that's actually like mentioned that, and that's like his lifelong dream, and that's what he says every single
Pokemon
time.
Dance team.
I'm building a dance team.
I love the
that's
anime.
A really odd choice.
Like, even the anime, like his whole like strategy is he just like claps. And the Pokemon just fight. Like, oh my god.
It's a good time.
He needs to understand the beauty that is Ludicolo.
Next on the list, number nine is AZ.
Also known as the Ancient King Alistair from a thousand years ago.
I thought he was a really cool character. He was also very giant. And
he's immortal.
he is immortal. He's immortal because he tried to like kill the whole world. And... all these other things. Game Theory actually has like a really cool thing about that right now. About the multiverse due to the weapon being fired or not fired.
Yeah, like...
which is really cool. It's a really good idea, and I really like it. But that has nothing to... it has very little to do with the character. So, AZ is... I wish they would have get... I think I said this before, like, in a review of X and Y that we did. That I really wish that AZ would have gotten more of a story.
They should have. Because his team, too... when...
yeah, his team doesn't make any sense.
Like, it's kind of odd. It's like, what is...
I'm really waiting for that third version to come out, and maybe it would explain it a bit more.
Two of them made sense, to a degree.
I mean, even if they... even if they pulled, like, a Pokemon Platinum, and it was just, like, an additional story, and it, you know, how it highlighted... it highlights Giratina. Just highlight, you know, highlight Zygarde, and highlight AZ. Just give him a bit more of a story. Just give him some... I want more. I want to dig in. But Pokemon does it a lot, I just find.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in the lore.
Think about the team now, like, that makes sense.
It's just like, the lore behind some of these things, and I always want more. I'm always left hungry for more in the stories. And they do it, and it's there, and it exists. And it's just like, just explicitly have one person in the game be like, Darkrai and Cresselia hate each other. Just one person that says that. Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are always these connections that are drawn.
Something I've always liked about Pokemon is that you have to really delve deep into the games to understand the lore.
I guess that's true, but at the same time, I would like it to be more canon, you know?
Yeah.
Because
a lot of it's just not really...
a lot of it becomes, like, theories, and then you end up with people on Reddit who don't understand. And
guys, I don't get it.
And it's confusing. But either way, I don't know. AZ is just one of those characters I felt like he just needed more bulk, and he just didn't get it.
He did. I kind of understand a bit of the team, though, because think about, like, Golurk and Sigilyph, they're just kind of like old ancient Pokemon.
Yeah, 3,000 years old.
Torkoal is just a tortoise, and tortoises are old.
Live forever.
The best,
you know what, that's actually...
The best part.
You're good.
Explanation.
You're good. I'm hoping in the third version, or whatever happens...
They should
that we get his Floette, finally.
Oh, we... still see that thing.
Because that's been in the game code since X and Y, and nothing's been said of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least let me battle it or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But moving on, I think we should go to number 8. Number 8 is Trickmaster, from the Trickmaster Hout on Route, I believe, 111?
Whatever the above Slateport.
I believe it's 111. But either way, just north of Slateport, I love this because I was going through the Trickmaster's house to get some TMs. And then I watched the anime episode where Ash goes to the Trickmaster's house. And it was hilarious because it was like the Trickmaster was on some kind of drugs. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was on, like, speed or something.
I've concealed myself beneath this potted plant!
No, because he goes in there, and so there's, like, this competition to, like, get through the mazes and everything first.
Yeah, I remember it. And it was and like,
the... he just keeps continuously, like, he's, like, he's a generic cartoon character that just hurts himself all the time. And Ash is just like, and all the character, like all of your, like May, Ash, Max, and Brock are always just like, is he okay? Like, he it looks like he's hurt. And the girl that's with him, no, he does this all the time. It's like, well, this sounds like it sounds like something a drug addict would do, you know?
Like,
but at the same time, yeah, no, how weird now, is it like, that the guy like hides under plant pots and stuff?
Oh my god. I wanted, like, fan art of him, like, under a plant, or, like, him in, like, the bookshelf, like, cramped in there, or, like,
That would be great. Some kind of fan art like that? That would be great.
I actually have a fun fact, kind of, it's a little bit of a tangent, but it's actually really interesting.
Okay, go for
it. That same episode that the Trickmaster is in is the episode where Jigglypuff starts chasing Ash's group, because a Whismur appears in that episode, and the Whismur doesn't fall asleep. While it sings, and so Jigglypuff's life dream is complete. Somebody actually listened to it.
Yeah, that's
sing
when it stops following him. That's right. Yeah. Oh man, I didn't even notice that. I didn't pay attention during that show.
Wait, in the anime, is Trickmaster have like purple hair?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, that's a weird guy then. Like the one, like I just searched this is art, and I just see like this guy in like a carnival ring, like with a ringmaster outfit, the big bow tie, and like purple hair, and this weird thin mustache.
Right.
Like,
so
play through all of the Trickmaster games and get your tent.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, we should move on to number 7. I think this is on a lot of people's list. Youngster Joey from Gold Silver and Heart Gold Soul Silver. Mostly because he's the first person that you ever like give your phone number to in Gold and Silver. So he continuously calls you and tells you about his top percentage ratatata.
Ratata.
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 My Rattata is in the top percentage. Of what?
Of Rattata.
Rattata. So, like, that's not saying much at all. That's like being like, my pinky toe is in the top percentage of pinky toes.
What if his Rattata has, like, 5 IVs or something?
I mean, even then, I don't care. It's still a Rattata. Like, it's still a Rattata. It does eventually, if you keep rebattling him, it does evolve into Eradicate, just for anybody who's wondering. But he just calls you constantly and tells you about that Rattata, and it's annoying. You could ask him about it, you know. Joey, how's that Rattata of yours doing? Da-da-da.
It's dead.
He doesn't catch anything else either. Like, some trainers, when you rebattle them in that game, will actually, like, add Pokemon to their team sometimes.
Yeah.
But Joey does not. It is continuously Rattata to Raticate, and then it maxes out at, like, some level. I forget which level. But, yeah, you know, Youngster Joey is just one of those, like, nostalgia choices.
Yeah.
I guess we should move on to another nostalgia choice, the Magikarp Salesman. Scrawn came up with this one.
Yes. You first see him in the original Pokemon games whenever you're outside the Pokemon Center of Mount Moon, I believe.
Yeah.
And he sells you a Magikarp for 500 Poke.
Well, actually, that's actually really cool. If you didn't start with Squirtle, of course. Because, you know, it's just level 20 and it'll level up and it'll become a Gyarados. And you'll have this really cool Pokemon very early on in the game before you get the old rod. And It would be really cool, honestly, if I would have done that as a kid.
But he's just, he's basically describing, he give me 500 Poké and I'll sell you this really awesome Pokemon. And then, like, the conundrum comes in, well, it's Magikarp, but Magikarp does evolve into Gyarados.
I mean, it's at, like, level 5, and if you actually were to go through the patience, by the time you take on Misty, your Pokemon should be about level 20.
Yeah.
And so you'd have a Gyarados by then if you were very patient.
Yeah.
But as a kid, it was just like, this is awful. Put it in the PC. Be done. And then he actually comes back in other games. I think he was in Black and White 2. He sells you another Magikarp. Yeah, or in Black and White. It was either in Black and White or Black and White.
He's in X and Y for sure.
Yeah, he is. Pretty,
I think he was also in the fourth generation games around Jubilife.
Right.
Oh, he might have been. Right. Yeah, you're right.
I think he's like appeared in almost all of the games.
Yeah, just like he appears in the anime all the time.
Oh yeah, and he sells Jesse and James
magic. He sells them a Magikarp once.
He sells them a whole bunch of things,
and then he again sells them a Feebas.
No, it was a Magikarp
that
painted
was
like a
painted which was a painted Magikarp. He sells them an evolution machine, which doesn't work. Oh no, it does. It's actually a legitimate like working evolution machine, but the thing is, Team Rocket sets it up incorrectly. He sells them a Weepin' Bell that knows Sweet Scent, but they had to give their Victory Bell. And it just ends up evolving to a Victory Bell later in the episode and, like, leaving with James's former Victory Bell.
The best part about that is then it eats Jesse.
Yeah, it eats Jesse James. Instead of James.
Both elope, the greatest thing. It'll leave. They also, they also get sold to Chimecha, which is a Hoppip.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
One more, I don't know.
Yeah, they do it. It happens a lot, though. And it's just one of those memorable things. I think that reminds me more from, like, the anime than it does in the games.
Yeah, but he's there.
Number 5 on our list, we actually start getting to, like, cool stuff now. we have the ghost girls that appear both in X and Y, which is real creepy when you just go up on the second floor, I believe, of one of the buildings in Lumio City. There's a girl that just appears and kind of glides and is just like, no, you're not the one. And just disappears. And nobody's ever noticed anything else that has to relate to. Like, whatever, you know? And eventually you'll see her again in Auraz, or at least another girl that's just, like, the same thing on Mount Pyre. And she does the same thing. And I think that's actually, like, one of the creepier things that they've done in Pokemon.
There are a lot of theories going on around it.
Yeah,
and one of them involves Hoopa.
Yeah, like, that can make sense.
Yeah, but I'm not really
Hoopa
sure on the specifics.
And all that.
Yeah, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because that's how they explain the Mirage Islands. Because Hoopa.
Oh
can
yeah,
make
I agree
its,
with that entirely from Hoopa.
Hoopa can like make its rings grow up to several miles in length, which are capable of like transferring islands to different areas of the world, and that explains the Mirage Islands entirely.
It does. It really does. Yeah, that's definitely one of the big ones. There's
Here's the clincher.
Yeah.
Hoopa has 3 rings, and you can find 3 Mirage spots every day. That's the clincher right
Look
there.
Look at that.
Wait, what do you mean 3 Mirage spots? Because I can, like, go to 7 of them.
Well, no, you go to 7 of them when you can, well, not with the legendary Pokemon, but the Mirage Islands. You can get more of them if you street pass people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's why you get more, but, yeah. I really do. I have huge hopes for Hoopa. But I digress. Moving on, we have number 4, Mr. Bonding, which is Shamu's like favorite.
Mr. Bonding. He's so creepy. It's like
almost as creepy as you saying Mr. Bonding.
My favorite thing in X and Y, whenever you find him in the Pokemon Centers, is that he's always like looking at the corner of the room. He's just like standing in the corner, looking at the corner. I was like, What are you looking at? Mr. Bonding gives everybody, for those of you who don't know, the O powers in X and Y, and I guess in Auraz, kind of.
In a way. Like, the fact that you close your eyes to bond with him.
It's really questionable in nature.
Let's not go any further than
that. Yeah, let's leave it there, but it's very questionable in nature, but the cool, I like the O power mini quest thing that they do in X and Y or Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire a lot better, where you go find like different people And then they all merge into this body for some reason.
You don't really go find them. You literally, in the Marvel Pokemon Center, you just go in, talk to them, leave, go back in, talk to them, go back. It's like, it's all you do.
Yeah, but then they go upstairs, right?
Yeah, then after you get them all, you have to go upstairs to, you know, you have to go find the powerless guy or whatever. The guy with like nothing.
He's in the Malville Heights, though.
Yeah, and then you go to, I think, the bonding room, and you bring the guy there or whatever.
Yeah.
And these, all these bonding guys, they have, like, weird, they're like the balding old guy, like the Pokemon fan or whatever, and they have, like, rainbow-colored hair. Like, one of them's pink, another yellow.
That's really cool.
And then, like, one by one, they fuse into this guy.
And it turns out to be Mr. Bonding. It makes no sense.
They're all Caucasian, but he turns Latino, or whatever.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Answer. It's fine.
Like, it's great, though. It's so random. So stupid.
One of my favorite... Moving on, my favorite is number 3, Zinnia from Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. For spoiler alert, of course, for those of you who haven't finished the games, but the games have been out for, like, 2 months, so... I assume as a Pokemon podcast, I'm allowed to talk about these things. So Zinnia is like the last of this dragon worshipping people that wants to go train Rayquaza essentially to help save the world. And she ends up losing like real bad. But my favorite things about her is not just, first of all, her character design is really cool. I think it's really cool to have a stronger like female presence in the games, you know? Because a lot of times gym leaders are pretty good in that they're essentially 50-50 male to female. But at the same time, the gym leader's role is in the game, except for maybe, I would say Red and Blue and Black and White, has been pretty diminishing. And it's not nearly as memorable as it used to be. Like in Red and Blue, it was very memorable in that it was just like, I beat Blaine the other day. And you just associate these personalities with these gym leaders.
Yeah, the other day I beat Ramos.
Yeah, exactly. it's not nearly as easy now. And the gym leaders, especially, like, what was it? The one that I would say, for at least me, is the biggest offender of this is the grass type gym leader in X and Y. Is that Ramos?
That's Ramos.
Yeah, I remember absolutely nothing about him. Because at least for both... in X and Y, at least in Santaloon City, you get some kind of build-up for who the gym leader is. In, I forget, what's the other one? Comarine? No, not Comarine.
Comarine is Ramos. Comarine is,
yeah, has Ramos. Who's the guy with the rock type gym leader?
Oh, that's,
That's not Chimisenge.
What is his name?
Grant. Yeah, but Grant... There's a build-up to him as well. There's, like, a small build-up to him. And then there's a huge build-up to, the fighting type gym leader.
Karina.
Yeah, Karina. There's a huge build up to that because she's actually involved in the story. And then Ramos comes and it's just like, you are the most unmentionable person I will ever have.
I have this go-go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then there's Clement and he's kind of not rememberable because, you know, his gym is at least really cool and it's very unique. And then there's the fairy type gym leader, and I remember her only because she has a really cool looking gym on the outside and she was also fairy type.
Yeah.
The psychic type gym leader, not so much either. And then, the ice type gym leader at the end, it was very, very memorable because they were involved in the story to some extent.
Thatch, I think that Shamu has been trying to say something for the past 5 minutes.
I don't remember what I was trying to say anymore.
I apologize,
Shamu. It was with Clement. Like, the fact is, that's like one of the first cities you go to, but you can't access the gym.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, I wonder if the gym leader is. Then you got to go all the way around.
Yeah, it's very much like a Giovanni.
Yeah. And... like you can't access him right away, but...
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as evil, though.
Yeah, but either way, like I think that Zinnia is one of those characters that's very memorable. And
Wow, that was a tangent, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about Zinnia, and we somehow got to gym leaders. I really do like Zinnia, and I liked her story with her Whismur named Aster, but there's obviously somebody else named Aster in her life. That was just no longer alive. If you remember that from the end.
The creepy thing is it seemed like whoever the Aster was like reincarnated or like possessing the...
I don't know if they were possessing... I think she named the Whismur Aster.
She named it after, but it just seemed how the Whismur responded, like even with like the name.
No,
saying, like,
I don't think so. I think you're looking too much into it.
I'm looking into it a lot, but it just seemed weird to me. It just...
We should move on to our number 2 choice, which is the last outside of Rock Tunnel in Red and Blue, who predicted Muna or at least predict. I want to put prediction is in quotes.
Is it Rock Tunnel or Mount Moon?
It's Rock Tunnel.
Rock Tunnel.
It's right before you get to Lavender Town, where we're located today. And that was a joke that fell very flat.
I'm sorry.
She says, Pokemon are so cute, there should be a pink one with a floral pattern. And, like, I don't want to say that they predicted, because it goes all over the rampant in the internet. Oh, they predicted Muna, and it's like, no, they didn't. They just made one with a floral pattern. There's only so many things they could do.
How can you predict it if you make it?
Yeah, exactly. And so it wasn't, I have a very strong theory that was made because of the... Like, they were coming up with Pokemon designs, and they're just like, oh, wouldn't it be hilarious if we made one just like we said we should? And then they did.
Yeah. And it turned out to be complete ass.
And they make it the pre-evolution to the Pokemon that basically is the predecessor to half of the subplot of the Black and White games, which
exactly.
is Musharna.
That's true.
Exactly. That's true. I mean, they designed it. I think they designed it because of this quote, not the quote predicted it or anything.
But, yeah,
you know, it's interesting. It's really cool that they at least remember the old games when they're designing the new ones.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I think it is evidence of.
Certainly.
But, we have our last one, right?
Yes.
Our last one is Looker. Number one, da 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 da, Looker.
Looker.
Where?
Sorry. Where? Well, so I'll go ahead and give a bit of a brief synopsis on Looker for our listeners.
Yeah, go for it.
Looker first appears in Platinum version, or I believe.
Yeah, it's Platinum. It's
Platinum version. And he,
appears in Jubilife City first.
Yes.
And he is a member of the Pokemon International Police.
Mm-hmm.
And he constantly throughout the games is trying to help thwart slash study what the evil team of the generations are doing.
Team Galactic
the first time, and then Team Plasma.
He's trying to hunt down the sages in the end of Black and White.
Yeah, and you help him arrest
that.
Them.
Every time you find one.
In Kalos, he sets up a little. That's where his office is, and you find out. You don't find out a whole lot. You make friends with this little ruffian girl, and then you go around and you tidy up Lumiose City.
I actually really enjoyed that, though. That's my favorite thing. Like,
really
the
cool
Looker,
little
the
little
Looker Bureau missions were great compared to, like, a lot of other things. It was very on par with the Delta episode. I think the Delta episode just had more epicness in that you're riding Rayquaza into space and, like, destroying an asteroid.
Mm. Yeah. And then in ORAZ, I actually haven't found out what he does yet in ORAZ, but he's like...
Oh, no, actually, so what happens in ORAZ is that you get a...
It does.
What happens is you find him on the Battle Resort Island.
Yeah.
And you'll find him, he has amnesia,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll get... Some lady will come and pick him up and take him to his house, and then you go into the house, you talk to him, he'll give you Audinite.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. He just has amnesia. He's making like a small cameo. How he ends up on the beach, though? That's an interesting question.
That's hilarious. It's just
And isn't there, like,
You only know that
to say that, like, Ores became before X.
Yeah, there are thoughts that that's what happened, and maybe his name isn't actually Looker, but people just, gave him that name, and he's going around being an international police officer.
Oh my god.
Oh.
That's
my
the theory. That's
oh
the theory.
My god.
That's really funny, actually.
Yeah, that's the way I took it. Like, before the whole multiverse idea came in, I was like, maybe these are the origins of Looker. Like, they find Looker, and they tell him, oh, you're Looker. You look pretty handsome, you know? And then he's just like, that's my name now, and I'm going to go be a police officer.
That sounds so great.
Right?
I really wish that ends up developing a
I don't know. I would like to see what happens in the next game and what happens with Looker there.
Because ultimately, he doesn't really do a whole lot. I mean, in the fourth gen Platinum, he busts open the wall with Krogunk.
Yeah.
And in the fifth gen, he runs around and, like, helps you arrest the sages.
He'll arrest them. It's actually the only game where justice is actually done.
Yeah. But other than that, he really doesn't do a whole lot. No. He just tells you to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you Autonite for some reason.
But I don't know. He's just been, he's a nice character.
Oh, he just had it in his pocket. That's what happened.
Yeah.
He just had it in his pocket.
Yeah, he just had it. And so he gives it to you.
Like,
so,
in the anime, he appears several times as
yes.
well. And he just does various things, especially mm-hmm. in the movies, I believe.
Yeah, he does. I don't know if he's in the movies. But
yeah, I don't think he might be.
He's in the show. He's in the
one,
show.
I don't even think he's in the show. I don't think he's in a movie,
though. He's not in the movie.
Okay.
But, yeah, oh well. Looker is a really cool character. I think he's definitely one of the cooler characters that we have in the Pokemon fandom. I don't know. It would have been cool if he would have been involved in the Delta episode somehow, but...
I know
Rayquaza, you were under arrest.
somebody please do an art of that. Like, I want to see some fan art of that. Like, Looker, where the, like, in front of Mega Rayquaza, like, you're under arrest. But, either... I think we'll leave it there. I think we'll leave it there, and we'll head over to commercial break. So, catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Come on over to Rhyhorn Steakhouse. We're throwing some mighty nice specials where you can buy two Bloomin' Otters for the price of one or even a limited time filet of Feebas. Come on Wednesday where you can get a three-course meal for $11.99. Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
Poke of the episode. And welcome back. Our Pokemon of the episode today is National Dex number 461, Weavile, the Sharp Claw Pokemon.
Evolution made it even more devious. It communicates by clawing signs in boulders.
Really? That's actually very interesting, that it's clawing signs into boulders.
That's some great. Pretty sharp claws.
I mean, I was really pumped when fourth gen was my jam. and so I actually really liked Weavile when he was released. Because not only does he have that base 120 speed, but a base 125 attack.
And it was a little bit harder to get, so you had to definitely work mm-hmm. toward it, which was
it
nice.
It was a lot of fun to use competitively, though. His defenses are horrible.
It,
don't get me wrong.
It is
his
good.
Defenses are awful.
Oh yeah.
But I actually had a lot of fun back and forth gen running him. But at fifth gen was really the kicker because you had all those fighting types show up, and with that x4 fighting weakness, he was just not viable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Plus the steel weakness now too, with more common steel like Lucario.
And... Oh, especially now because fairy type made steel types become very common.
It's still OU though.
Yeah, no, it's like bottom rung OU though.
It is though, yeah. It's just a glass cannon.
It's BL. It's
I mean,
the limbo.
It hits hard.
No, he's not.
It'll hit.
He's OU. He's OU still.
Yeah, he will hit
actually,
hard.
Actually, I might be wrong.
No,
he's
I'm
BL.
Sure.
He's
BL. Okay, he's BL.
BL sounds right actually. Thinking about it,
but yeah, that means he's using OU because nobody is just like, hey, you want to do a BL match? I've never had anybody come up to me and just like, you want to play BL?
Like 8 Pokemon possible.
BL's not even a tier.
I know.
Like Kyurem, yeah. Kyurem is the king of BL.
It's basically you're not
in all actuality,
and you're not bad enough to be UU.
Yeah, it's just like it's an awful place to be in your life.
It's Pokemon limbo.
Yeah, it is.
And Kyurem has been there almost his entire life. Like literally, you go BL, like, years ago, went to Smogon. BL, what's in BL? Wobbuffet, Kyurem, I don't see something else. Like, okay. Now, what's in BL 2? Kyurem.
But either way, it was, like, I don't know. I like Weavile's design.
Oh, yeah, well, I do too.
Can we get some trivia, Dr.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Same. It's, Weavile is the same weight as Dawn.
What?
So is Porygon Z, yeah. So, Weavile and Dawn are the same weight.
Okay.
Also, highest base speed of any ice type, and is tied for the fastest dark type with Darkrai.
Okay, well that's actually really interesting, honestly.
And then, no other Pokemon has its type combination except for its evolutionary line.
It actually was, I just saw this, it was actually one of the pre-release Pokemon.
It was
before they shifted
generations. It was it's basically a third slash fourth generation Pokemon.
Yeah, I miss them doing that. They haven't done
it
that in the past few generations, really.
Bonsly, Munchlax, and Weavile.
They haven't used the anime as well as I would have liked them to as an advertising thing.
Other.
And way before I could even hear about the games, show me a new Pokemon in the anime. I wish they would do that again.
Well, what they did was, it was Lucario in the Mystery of Mew, the Pokemon spy.
I remember that.
She had two Weavile.
I remember that.
Mario
and
were also announced with Weavile, or shown with Weavile.
Yeah.
So
they made Cameo, but you know, I miss like Kecleon being announced like 2 years before.
Oh yeah, that was
Ruby,
like,
and Sapphire were announced.
That was awesome.
Blaziken too.
Blaziken wasn't. Blaziken was shown. He was shown in the episode. Even after they had it, like, they showed Kids WB back when they were showing the show. Blaziken was in the Silver Conference episodes.
Yeah.
And what happened was Kids WB actually showed like a preview for the Hoenn anime before that episode even happened.
Oh.
And when that episode happened, I think Ruby and Sapphire were already out.
I believe so. I remember not knowing it though, so I don't know.
I was just like, this is really cool. I'm just like, but it's a little too late to use this as an advertising ploy. I already bought your game. So.
Well, one of the neat things about Weavile that I've often noticed, like, a lot of people ask, do Pokemon eat each other? Weavile is a good example of that, because Weavile eats Pokemon eggs.
Ooh, that's true. There's more of a weasel in that sense, then.
Other confirmed Pokemon are Pidgeot eat Magikarp, and Swellow eat Wurmple.
Ooh. I mean, considering that they came out with that whole, like, form, you know, for their for the other people that do Pokemon stuff, and saying don't mention a Pokemon food chain like whatsoever. Pokemon breaks its own rules so many times. Like, don't mention a food chain. Well, these Pokemon eat each other, so food chain.
Yeah, there's the, I wouldn't call it a chain, but it's a food line. Just you.
I mean, the humans don't eat anything. The Pokemon, I'm assuming everybody's just a vegetarian.
Berries.
There's like a secret.
Everybody in the Pokemon world's diet consists of berries.
I mean, like Slowpoke tails people.
Yeah, that's awful.
That's true.
Either way, I think that's it for the Pokemon of the episode. If you want to learn more about Weavile this week, you can actually go to PucklePodcast.com. You can check out some of its sets that Scrawn set up. By reading in the meta this week. Weavile, I think, is a very cool Pokemon. You can run some Ice Punch and some Knock Off and go all day.
It's a glass cannon.
Yeah, it's a glass cannon, like we said.
You run like five or six different moves.
If you ever have any recommendations for the Pokemon Week, just send me an email at bscron@gmail.com and give a recommendation. I already have one for this week, but next week it is completely free.
And he will also be taking those via PM as well. But Scrawn and I are working on something. Maybe in the next couple of months we'll have some other system. So until next time, I guess, that's the poke of the episode. Let's go to everybody's favorite part of the show now, the mailbag.
The mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails! The mail's here. You got mail. Check your inbox. You got mail. It's time for the mailbag. Mail.
And onto the mailbag. Our mailbag is brought to you, as always, by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And as always, we will be giving out the Green Tauros badge to whoever has the best email here. So our first email comes from Black Gold. Here we go. Hello, Puckle. Tis I, Black Gold. I'm here typing an email due to the fact that I'm sitting here and have my email open and I'm listening to Puckle and I haven't emailed in this week. Anyway, let's get going with this email. First, to Shamu, you're doing fantastic with the UUTC, and I'm glad you're taking the time and effort to organize the tournament and enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it, and so is everyone else. Second, to Wiser, who is trying to save our dearly departed forums. Your new article is fun, and I really enjoyed it and appreciated being mentioned. Nate, we can have that old tumbleweed. Oh, now we can say that old tumbleweed we call a forums. It's pretty active. Third, to the last episode host, great job on the episode. Hopefully Bo survived the bear attack. Fourth, welcome, pixelated youngster. Anyway, now that I've shouted out my shout-outs, time to comment. The idea of a VGC-style tourney would be amazing, and I'd have a fun time competing. I believe the mailbag was something to do with my favorite in-game NPC, which frankly, I have no idea what NPC is, and I don't have the time or the strength to Google it. It's too far, I have tiny arms, ugh, the Google app is just too far. Anyway, Puckle, sorry to take up time in the mail. I'll be on my way. Have a Pucklicious week. Black gold, over and out.
Well, hopefully you learned what NPC is from this episode.
Non-player character.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, now, Pixelated Youngster has some nice font.
Yeah,
that's
it's
really
a weird
easy
font.
To read. That
yeah,
is
go
really
for it,
Shamu.
It is easy to read. All right. This is from Pixelated Youngster. Dear Puckle, it's me, the Pixelated Youngster, back again for my second email. So my friend recently got a 3DS power saves for his 3DS off Amazon. For those of you who don't know what power saves is, pretty much a wire you plug in a 3DS game cartridge at one end, another end into your computer, and you can upload a bunch of cheats to almost any 3DS game, pretty much what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's an action replay.
It's just like, you got a little like box cord download.
Yeah, it's an action replay.
An action replay for your computer, yeah. So he plugs in an Omega Ruby and comes to school the next day with a shiny DNC, 999 Master Balls, an Eon ticket, a full Pokedex, and last but not least, a shiny Hoopa. I'm not going to spoil what happens with Hoopa, but let me say his shiny is awesome. But I'm mad because he ruined what Pokemon was all about. P.S. My birthday just passed on January 13th, and I got an Ocarina from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
That sounds awful.
Nice.
Nobody wants to listen to that.
Hey, I actually have one in my hands right now.
Nope.
And
no.
I have to disagree with you there, Thatch. These are awesome.
Okay.
That sounded like a recorder.
Oh, God. Stop it.
Okay.
Mail. Not close to a recorder, but it sounded similar.
Mailbag.
Yeah. For his mailbag, he put, I would have to say my favorite NPC in Pokemon would have to be, obviously, the Youngster Joey. Just look at my name, the Pixelated Youngster. I really do think shorts are comfy, and I don't really have anything against Rattata, so why not? Well, that's it for me. I'll try to participate in the chat and read more articles. See ya.
Nice.
Wonderful.
What really struck me about that mailbag is that he understands that Pokemon isn't about just getting 999
master balls. We're breeding good people.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Keep on doing what you're doing, you Pixelated Youngster.
Yeah.
All right, I've got Subline Manix. Brace yourselves, people. I'm going in hyperdrive. How now, Trainer Thatch and whomever you have co-hosts at this time. Subline Manic here. It has been a hot long minute since I wrote in, so I thought I'd burden y'all with one of my lengthy letters. My condolences to whomever winds up having to read it, but I know that I write because I care and that this was originally a good 50% longer. I cut it down a lot. Fluffiest and I are just incapable of keeping it short. Shout out to the Fluffiest Whimsicott and the rest of the writing set. Love y'all. Let me start by giving props to your stand-ins last week, keeping things running smoothly in your absence and maintaining the podcast's consistent weekly releases. As a huge fan of the TCG GBC game, I'm glad I got it covered. Since I didn't write in last week, I did want to mention a few things about the game. I thought it was interesting the psychic stall strategy was so highly favored on the podcast. It is definitely a good strategy that in that era of the TCG, but one of my biggest complaints about the TCG on GBC is that matches play so slowly, and that stall approach is basically trying to deck out your opponent to win, which makes a single match take literally two or three times longer to finish at least, since so many of the opponents only have three or four prizes as opposed to the full six it makes the amount of time it takes to deck out an opponent compared to just getting KOs comparatively even longer. Your patience with the game is clearly greater than mine. My favorite strategy to use in that game is actually Blastoise plus Articuno and company. The regular, much stronger Articuno, not the legendary card version that exists only in the GBC game and targets Pokemon randomly, since after playing for a certain amount of time in the game, you basically have access to whatever cards you want between Pokemon Breeder, reprinted as Rare Candy today, Pokemon Trader, and being able to run four Professor Oaks and computer search cards and use more than one in a single turn. Yay, pre-supporter and A-Specs mechanics. It is very easy to get a Blastoise out on turn 2. From there, you can spam very strong high-energy attacks very quickly. Anyone familiar with the current TCG format presumably knows Blastoise, but Buscaldio, EX, Black QRM, EX Dex, and Blastoise's ability and base set is basically the same as the one it has today, so the strategy is the same, but with different attackers. Energy acceleration is amazing no matter what era of the TCG you're playing. I could go on about this game. I'm really fond of the TCG for GBC and the TCG in general, but I'll stop. I'm just really enthusiastic about the TCG. Both the online version and the GBC version. Oh my god, what are you doing this to me? Oh, there's more. Okay.
Keep going.
So much that I actually considered applying to write about the TCG on the site. Instead of the VGC. VGC is definitely my primary Pokemon passion, though. Don't get it twisted. I don't think I can now. Okay. Okay. There's one more part.
You're almost done.
I've got this. All right.
More time.
On to this week's actual question. I'm not sure how broad or narrow the definition of NPC is here, but after reducing it to literally only characters you can neither play nor battle against, I find my favorite NPC in the games to be Professor Elm. This is because of his character both in the games and in the anime, though. His clumsiness as a person indicated in his design, combined with his intellect and passion for his work, and if evidenced by how often he wishes to debate conjecture with Professor Oak when given the chance, is extremely endearing and attractive to me. He's also a great example of a character going from pupil to peer in the series, being the only professor established to be a former student of Professor Oak, which is kind of awesome. Their generational gap and student-slash-teacher relationship is also a complementary to the timeline of the series and contributes beautifully to the many connections between the Johto and Kanto regions, said connections being a huge part of what makes Johto my favorite region and what makes them be both special in the franchise in spite of not being as topographically complex and grandiose as newer regions have become. There can be a beauty in simplicity in portraying relationships that tie things together. Sorry. Elm is also notably the only professor in the series that wears glasses. How did that happen? Not gonna lie. Professor Elm is a sexy nerd and the thirst is real. I'd go full Brock mode on it. Stay fabulous and don't wear socks with flip-flops. Sublime manic.
All right. Moving on, we have,
quick question. Why do we have Tierno but not Professor Oak on our list?
I don't know.
Why do we have Oak?
Sea Painter. This is from Sea Painter. Ahoy there, Thatch and assorted co-host crew. It is not I, not Black Gold. Instead, this newly minted Puckalonian, Sea Painter. I'm a late-in-life trainer who was introduced to Pokemon by my wife at the age of 36. That's actually really cool that somebody who's 36 listens to this show. It started out as a couple's costume. She had ordered a giant mascot-style Pikachu costume for Halloween, and I wound up being Ash. A few months later, we each bought each other DSs for Christmas, and she insisted we get black and white, so we could have a game to play against each other. The first time I was asked, are you a boy or a girl, I was a bit insulted, but the first time I got ambushed in the tall grass, I was hooked. Now on to the mailbag. I've been waiting the past few weeks for a question I could answer, and now I finally can. There are so many excellent NPCs in the franchise, but the ones that currently stick out for me is Youngster Joey from Heart Gold Soul Silver. I tried playing through HeartGold recently, because I finished Omega Ruby and it's been years since I played through Soul Silver. Apparently it's been long enough for me to forget about the Pokegear phone thingy works, because after my first trainer battle, the kid asked if I want to exchange phone number, and stupid me says yes. Now my wife is entertained by my constant cursing because Youngster Joey's calling me every 5 minutes to talk about a stupid Rattata. I'm so sick of him that I now grudge kill every Rattata and Raticate that crosses my path out of pure spite. Anyway, Thatch and friends, thanks for a great podcast, excellent website, and awesome community. Fair winds and following seeds, flip-flopping seeds, I mean, Sea Painter.
Wonderful. All right. It is I, not right. Black Gold.
That was great.
You've got this next one, Shamu, from Revenite.
Revenite. Sponsored? I don't know if we said it.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, and I said it.
As always, remember the mailbag.
Wait, did say it?
I did say it. What are you guys doing?
I didn't remember.
I said it at the beginning. I do that.
You haven't talked about the mailbag badge. That's what I was thinking.
Like, okay. No, I did. I did talk about it.
Shamu, you have this next one from Revenate.
All right. Yep. Ahoy, resident Black Thorns. It's the elusive Revenate. Back again for a brief email. Let me just start off with a quick joke. How many tickles does it take to make a tentacle laugh? Tentacles. Now that I've released that from my system, allow me to address an idea that was briefly presented during the last episode. Ethan, my homie, I could definitely run an RPG/pen-paper-and-dice-style Pokemon campaign and put the dungeon in Mystery Dungeon, so to speak. In fact, I have a decent amount of research done already. My general idea was to run a game during PuckleCon this year for anyone who wants to participate.
That could actually
and
be
if there
a lot
are enough
fun.
People substantial, it could be, yeah.
Because I've really gotten a D&D recently, and it's
I
actually
wanted
a blast.
To. I just don't have the exact people.
Be like friends.
No one's actually. I've got friends, but
that want to play D&D.
They're imaginary. where was that?
Shamu's friends are his amiibos.
We should do a Blackthorn Council D&D session.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God. Put it on the YouTube.
All right. Keep going, Shamu.
Yeah. And if there are enough people substantially piqued by my fellow RPG player, Scron, could run another game.
Whoa, anyway, you're going to read that, Shamu.
You better, you better read that
you're
hashtag.
You're not going to take that.
Anyway, the people...
It says, hashtag Scron is cooler than Ethan, and you better know that's true.
Anyway, the people on the site are interested. Maybe we could start a forum on the topic to scope out more ideas. On to the mailbag. My favorite NPC is N. He has awesome hair, amazing backstory, and I, for one, still believe he's a Zoroark in disguise. Basically, he was the only reason I played 5th gen. That's all I have for today. Thanks for the awesome episodes, and here's to Paco getting old enough to drive. See you on the flop, floopity flip flop, Trainer of Night. P.S. How many?
Don't. No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No. You've got this next one, Scron, from.
Yeah, we can't read that.
From Dead Red. You've got this next one from Dead Red.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just recovering. Okay. Hello, Thatch, and whoever you managed to stalk for this episode. This is my first mailbag ever. I have been listening to the podcast for a few months now and have learned so much. Thanks for all the knowledge. Also, I would like to commend whoever makes your intro song.
Bosefus.
My favorite, it is Bosefus. My favorite thing from you guys is how you insult every Pokemon of your Poke of the Day.
I mean, Weavile was pretty good. I thought I did a good job with Weavile
and,
today.
Remembering today, Weavile, it's a glass cannon. You can't.
I didn't say that. Shamu said that.
I said
I liked Weavile back in Gen 4.
Remember what we did to Leafeon? That was just mean. Leafeon is the worst evolution.
It was awful.
Yeah. All right,
Leafeon's just as bad.
I also have signed up and would like to participate in your next tournament. Okay,
we need to get dates for that, Shamu.
Finished buttering the podcast, time for the mailbag. I have a tie for... Okay, I'm reading a mailbag. I have a tie for my favorite NPC. The tie is between Cynthia and the reappearing ghost children. Cynthia is a strong, independent female character that shows up in a lot of regions. And when I say the ghost children, I don't only mean the, no, you are not the one girl. I mean her, the girl in Mount Pyre, the one in the Snowfall City in Sinnoh, and the one in Phoebe's room in the Elite Four. They are all very small details that haven't had an impact on me. Well, there's my first mailbag. See you on the flip-flop, Dead Red. P.S. Red is dead.
Okay, that's a weird P.S.
Well,
I have this next one from Wiser Osprey. I'll actually take the next one, too, because this one's really short. Hey, guys, it's been a while, but I figured I'd let some new folks come in and steal the show for a while. But now I'm back. Thanks for all the birthday wishes, everyone. 21 is a big deal. I never thought my birthday could last 2 weeks, but I digress. Who's my favorite in-game NPC? I'd have to say Tyranno. That guy can move. I wish they made some sort of minigame involving him. Anyway, to keep it short, please visit the forums. It's gonna be poppin'. Wiser Osprey.
Nice. Alright.
I'll take this next one as well. This is from Green Trainer. Greetings, Puckle. With the lack of mailbag question, I wanted to talk about something you guys brought up a couple episodes ago. The devaluing of shiny Pokemon. I know Thatch does not place a lot of value in shiny Pokemon, but there are a lot of players who do. I'm assuming that Dr. Shamu is one of those whose heart races when he's ever lucky enough to see those sparkling stars and alternate color scheme come across the screen. Seeing as he patiently sought reset for that shiny Kyurem. I, for one, spent weeks using the Masuda method in Shiny Charm to breed a shiny Charmander in White 2. After thousands and thousands of eggs, when that yellow, I'll call it golden, Charmander finally hatched. I knew those had been the days and days well spent. Now everybody could just grab one with no effort at all. I have heard the Dexnav makes it easier to chain and find shinies, but I've had many... I did it by accident. but I have had many, many chains over 100 in Omega Ruby with no shiny. So I think that it takes some dedication to catch shinies that way. The shiny distributions is really what bothers me. Hopefully they decided to slow their roll and not distribute as many shinies, as it really makes them worthless. I mean, Red Gyarados is not special, and if I ever got a shiny Magikarp, I would never evolve it. And I always thought that shiny Metagross was awesome. Now everybody has it, that silver and gold has finally dulled significantly to me. Sorry if I'm ranting, but playing Pokemon for a long time and only having a few shinies to my name, and hate to see them devalued. In other news, not sure how to football fans are there in the Puckle community, but I wanted to know if you had any predictions for the Super Bowl. I'll take the Patriots 31-28. A Green Trainer out. I hate both teams, so like there's just no winning scenario because I don't like Tom Brady, and I don't like the Seahawks coach, and it's Misty is a huge Seahawks fan, because she's from Seattle originally, and so I don't know. Like, I guess I have to hope they win. I really want them to win more than Tom Brady getting another Super Bowl ring. So I hope the Seahawks win. I was really sad that the Packers didn't go.
Oh, but yes. That's really exciting. And speaking for most people who play Pokemon, that's not very exciting.
Green Trainer. you've got this next one from Kira77. Oh, ooh,
well,
sing.
Sing. Oh. Hold up.
Too many names.
Hola, Puckle hosts and fellow Puckalonians. Fairly new member Sing here, writing in. I discovered the podcast almost a month ago and have greatly enjoyed every new episode and gone back and listened to a few older ones also.
Oh, God.
I especially enjoy the Poke of the Week. I jumped on board a little too late to hop on the UUTC train. However, I'm looking forward to the next tournament. On the subject of tournaments, I decided to partake in the currently running Hoenn tournament, and I'm getting stomped, so the team I have been slowly working on is mainly Pokemon from 6th Gen, which can't compete.
Dope.
I'm assuming it's the Battle of Hoenn, I think. Is that?
Yeah, the Battle of Hoenn.
Yeah. So I ended up just throwing in some random pokes, basically. Oh well, at least I'll get that Tyrant. I'll be at the cost of a little of my dignity. Alas, the mailbag. I'm going to answer the mailbag question for the episode before last about playing games that you missed. I found this question quite funny, since the day before the episode I signed up on the forum and posted a picture of my systems with some of my games. I got out of the Pokemon scene for a long time since the release of Fire Red and Leaf Green. I got back into it with the release of X and Y and enjoyed getting back into it so much I decided to try it and catch them all. So over the past year I went back and bought all of the games and systems I would need too, so which has led to a lot of Poke fun. Keep up the great work on the podcast and website. Cheers. Thing.
Okay.
And my list doesn't help that name.
Okay, so we have like a book from Fluffiest.
All right. I've got it. I never back down from a challenge.
Here's a challenge. Here's a challenge for you.
Okay. Well, let me take a quick drink of water. I'm going to
I think that's necessary. God. She has written, like,
they're
a
like
book.
A way to...
All right.
Skip every other paragraph.
No, I don't...
Like, see how
I gotta do this.
Are in this?
We can. I will do that.
Reading is important to expand the mind.
Like 500.
All right, I've got this.
You want to take bets on this? How many words there are?
Yeah, I think like 500 or not more. Like, it's insane.
That's all right. I've got this.
I want to say 700.
I'm starting now.
Okay, start.
Hello, back from wherever Thatch and not sprung from a GS ball co-hosts. First, let me tell you that Viger and Ethan caused me to reach critical blush mass last week. I don't deserve all that love. You guys do. Even if you spent a good 6 minutes just bashing on my poor dugong, not that anything you said about our darling goofy seal wasn't 100% true, of course. I have to say, though, I was thoroughly intrigued by the concept of a theoretical Whimsicott badge. Not that I'm saying it should be a thing, but it's interesting. Like, how would it be awarded? To the person who writes the longest email? To the one who squeezed the loudest over some Pokemon's cuteness? To the one who makes the best pizza? So many possibilities. I also feel like I should come completely clean about something, since, well, you caught me. The pigeon joke was from way before I had ever even heard of Puckle. You had uncovered one of my most terrible secrets. I am an avid practitioner of the dark art of joke necromancy. I can't help it. Its gripping allure is just too strong. In fact, it is right now irresistibly compelling me to point out that stress cows are tight.
Oh, God. It sits on my dashboard now. Fun fact.
Before moving on to this week's mailbag, oh goodness, I have a couple of responses to other people's emails from last week. Pixelated Youngster, welcome. Glad to hear you are such a well-articulated young one. Although I have to admit your email had me crying on the inside a little after realizing I'm more than old enough to be your mom. Seriously, guy, he's younger than Pokemon and I'm older than the internet. I get shivers just typing this.
Black Gold, you awesomely generous trader, I have to friendly counter your counter-argument about the alternate universes in the Pokemon games. I think it is stated quite clearly in the Delta episode, in case anyone who still cares, spoilers, that this Hoenn and the one without Mega Evolution exist in two different timelines, which most likely split when AZ used or didn't use the ultimate weapon 3,000 years ago. Of course, we do not get a 100% factual statement because Zinnia is an enigmatic like that. Because Zinnia is enigmatic like that, so you are more than entitled to have a different opinion, but I believe that's what the authors meant to say and the best interpretation of the facts of the game. If anyone is interested in hearing more about this, I highly suggest checking out The Game Theorist's latest episode on YouTube. It says everything that needs to be said about this theory and the evidence to support it from the games, and I thought was made very well. I do have to say about the last few things they bring up, like the stuff about the cartridges, maybe stretching things a little too far, and I'm not totally sure I agree with them on those. But they are very fascinating nonetheless. All right, I'm going to take another drink of water.
Intermission. Whimsicott's email is 958 words long.
Oh, God. That's more than my articles every week. Okay. As for Steven being involved with Wallace or Cynthia, well, I guess we can agree to disagree, although I am curious. Have Cynthia and Steven ever met in the canon? What brings you to this ship, besides the obvious awesomeness of sticking two super hot, super competent characters together? By the way, the shipping episode would be fun, Thatch. I would even volunteer to do the research for you guys to spare your poor brains and eyeballs from the worst perils of the internet, which is still younger than me. I am still suffering, and I know DARPA, but look up the official birthday of the internet. The music episode would also be made of awesome. Have you guys seen the videos of the guy who managed to play the Pallet Town theme and the Pokemon Center music on secret bass note mats? He's a friggin' genius, he is. Yes, I have seen that. And yeah. Now, oh look, there's a mailbag hidden behind all those parentheses, because this is not long enough already. Thatch said email should be at least two sentences. Whimsicott, not at least two pages. Shut up, the other Whimsicott voice. My favorite NPC from the games. Oh, let me just take a second to restrain myself from writing a novel-length ode. Okay, I think I've got this. In Mr. Natural Harmonia Gropius, you of the tea green hair and of the relatively crazy height, I hadn't seen AZ yet, you looked so tall, and of the too fast speech, which I totally did not notice because I read really fast and I keep pressing A all the time and the text just appears altogether and it's still slower than I would like. You who understand Pokemon speech and yet still manage to get your butt kicked in every battle we have. You who are thematically linked to math, love formulas and have prime numbers in your battle theme, and are thus extra awesome. You who took my character on a Ferris wheel ride and made me an instant shipper. You who translate all of my articles with infinite patience, but mostly you who were pretty much raised to be Gessus's puppet, but still quietly go out into the world and listen, just in case something or someone can change your mind about the future you dream of, a future which you want so badly for the good of all Pokemon, even if you say it will break your heart a little. You, who at times kind of seem like you're really just looking for someone to stop you. You, In, are my favorite. You big, crazy-haired wooby. Well, that was not even 10 lines long. Go me! I apologize for the length and craziness and sappiness and wish you all an awesome week. Fluffy flip-flops, the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Wonderful. All right, it for the mailbag this week, finally. So who do we think should get the badge this week, guys? Anybody stand out in the back of your head?
I don't want to talk anymore.
anybody else stand out?
I want to go with Sea Painter. I like
Sea Painter too, because he's 36, and I think that's just really cool.
I like the story. Wait a moment.
Okay, we need to look at Sublime Manic, see if he's gotten it, because his was pretty good.
I don't think he did, but I like Sea Painter, and Shamu likes Sea Painter. That's two to one.
All right.
So, Sea Painter, congratulations. I'll be sending you an email with a code that you need to submit on the website, and you can get the Green Tauros badge. So, next time, you all should be emailing us at PucklePodcast.com. PucklePodcast@gmail.com and check out PucklePodcast.com. But also, emails about the mailbag question next week. I think I'm going to do a full official review on Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire since I haven't already. So what are your favorite parts of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire if you haven't played it? Or if you have played it. Send that in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Also, you should follow us on Tumblr. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and if you have it, most importantly, please do review us on iTunes. If you review us on iTunes, it's a lot easier for other people to find us, and we can help the community grow. And if you got some change jingling around in those pockets, we're still taking donations. So hopefully we can pay, you know, maybe I can be your podcasting slave for another 3 years instead of two. So keep that in mind, everybody. Please do that. We can also institute some cool programs. Anything else you guys wanted to say?
Yes, if you do get, if you need badges, remember that we have a new submission system rather than the previous method of us just giving them to you. So go ahead and send us the submission, Sea Painter.
Yes. So other than that, I think that's it. Please, as I said one more time, email us pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, pucklepodcast.com, and also review us on iTunes if you can. Even if you're not listening to us on iTunes, please go to iTunes, review us. It would be very helpful for us. I will forever love you.
Si, senor.
All right, hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, so until next time, I'm your host, Trainer Thatch.
I'm Scrawn.
And I'm Shamu.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.